He was talking about the beach, all these black families that got down there, they huddled, but only one of them had electricity. So they all plugged they all plugged into the one little place that had the electricity. And that's how they got their power. But he was relating that to you plug into spirit and mm-hmm. God, the source, and, mm-hmm. and that's what, you know, got them got their energy going. Quite a story.
Hello and welcome to A Pixie from Kilmarnock, a program about the people, places, and history of the Northern Neck of Virginia. I'm your host, Pixie E. Curry. Sunday is the day families get together for dinner. Some have to drive a ways to get there. So after the care packages are packed, the hugs and kisses, and the promise to keep the phone on until you get home, so they can still talk until that person reaches home safely. This is the setting I propose for the listening audience. I interviewed the family of Dr. Jan and Mrs. Elma Charity Charlton, five members of an extraordinary family that were transplants or come-heres or variation come-nows on the Northern Neck. So, to introduce the daughters, Janae Reed and Leigh Charlton, the cousins, Garrett Charity and Vernon Courtney, and the youngest of the group, Jamel Lynn Courtney, driving back to North Carolina. I interviewed this group by Zoom, April of 2021, so audio is different from each other. Pretend someone is in the kitchen, another in the dining room, the others sitting in the living room, all talking to the one who is driving back, keeping the conversation going as to make the trip seem shorter. This is part one of a two-part interview.
My name is Leigh Charlton, and I'm one of Jan Charlton's daughters. I'm a physician here in Richmond. I worked in federally qualified health centers doing public health to the underserved and, you know, anyone who needed our services for over 20 years. And I've been in Richmond now over 15 years in private practice.
My name is Garrett Charity. He was my uncle, Uncle Jan, Aunt Emma Charlton, and my father are sisters and brothers. I've known him ever since I was born. So we all at one time, Pamela, Ann, and before Jan, Ann, and Leigh, we all lived in Charles City, Virginia, while Uncle Jan was in medical school. Since I opened my eyes in this world, I've known the family. So let's put it that way. I'm retired. I was an industrial credit manager, and I worked in New York City, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh. I did 34 years in Pittsburgh, 3 years in New York City, and 3 years in Philadelphia. So I've been back in Richmond since retiring from PPG Industries. Two Fortune 500 companies. I started with Reynolds Metals Company. They sent me to New York City, Philadelphia, and PPG Industries. I got a job there after 6 years with Reynolds in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that's where I raised my family, in Pittsburgh. I was born in Charles City, Virginia. Of course, that's the hometown of Emma Charlton. My father's Alfred Charity, but I'm from Charles City, Virginia. That's where I was born and raised. Charles City is about 17 miles east of Richmond, Route 5.
I'm Janae Charlton Reed. I'm an attorney, practicing attorney, and have been practicing for some time. And I'm Jan and Emma's middle child. And I got to tell you, that's a hard road to hoe.
I'm a middle child too, so I know what you're talking about. Middle child's kind of rough.
I am Jamel Lynn Charlton. I am a procurement analyst for NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C., and Big Daddy was my grandfather. I am biologically Janae's daughter and by adoption, Leigh's daughter. I used to live in Maryland, but now I live in Charles City, Virginia at the beginning of February of this year.
See, I didn't know that until recently, Jamel.
I've wanted to move home for a while, but when the opportunity came to come to Charles City, I said, I am going home. So not only was I coming close to Richmond, but I was coming to where I consider it all started, because Great was born and raised here. So I'm very excited about being in Charles City.
Now, Pixie, you have to understand, this is a big city girl and she's moving back to the country. She knows nothing about the country. So that's why I'm asking, why is she moving back to Charles City?
When I moved here, I was telling somebody, I said, well, Calvert County, which is where I lived in Maryland, was rural. I said, but Charles City is rural. I mean, so there's nothing here. But I'm excited about exploring and taking pictures, because Aniana Great and I were in Charles City probably every weekend during the fall, winter, and spring until we started going to Reedville in the summer when I was growing up.
My name is Vernon Courtney. My mother and Emma Charlton were sisters, and Dr. Jan Charlton was Uncle Jan. I grew up in Tidewater, native of Hampton.
Charles City is sort of a hybrid of how the Northern Neck would be, being that it's a rural area.
Right.
But it is a really nice, calm, more farming than what is the general livelihood of people that live in Charles City.
Well, good point. They did some farming, but most of the people worked in the factories in Richmond, Virginia. They were pretty much factory workers. And when I grew up, of course, there were a lot of factory jobs available at that time. My father worked in a factory for 40 years, and most of the people commuted from Charles City to Richmond to work at a number of factories at the time. Now, those jobs are gone like fresh air, but that's how most of the people made that living.
Mm-hmm. You say gone like fresh air? There's yeah. still a little fresh air. I got a jar right down in the basement. Made of fresh air. And yeah. once in a while, I try to hide it and open it, you know, so it won't escape.
The commodity that we've lost, right?
One of the things I find out about the Charlton family, y'all have a tradition where you all go to the same colleges, you intern at the same hospital that Dr. Charlton did, and Garrett, you are the cousin. What are some of the things that you carried on in your life that is part of the Charlton legacy? What are some of the things that you really hone into being part of that family?
Well, you know, you've touched on some points. Of course, Uncle Jan finished Virginia Union University, and we had five boys in the family, and four of us finished Virginia Union University. One, Renard, a brother a year older than I am, he finished Virginia Union and went on study at Meharry Medical School, just like Uncle Jan. So he was an inspiration to our family. I mean, he was a forerunner in so many areas, a very brilliant man. And of course, we used him as a role model growing up. And of course, he had a beautiful home, a beach house when we were little tots, a beach property when we were tots. And he and Aunt Emma would come pick us up during the summer. And we'd spend many days down there in Reedville during the summer. Just thinking back, he was such a role model, and all of us wanted to sort of follow in his footsteps. Now, one brother did, but we did, four of us managed to graduate from Virginia Union and do well in various positions and various careers. But to sum it all up, he was just a role model. I mean, he was a kind man. I just had a great time growing up with all of his children. I'm Ann's age. I don't know if you remember Ann and Pamela's age. Ann and I were born in the same year. She was born in July and I was born in August of 1945. I don't think Ann was born in my grandmother's house, but we all lived there at the time in Charles City. But I was born in my grandmother's house. So we're all, like I said before, we were all in my grandmother's house in Charles City living while Uncle Jan was finishing up in medical school. So all of my life, I've known the man and known his wife all of my life, you know, since I first opened my eyes. But he was a brilliant man. He's a brilliant man, a forerunner of some great things. So that's my memories of him. And he's very kind to us, very kind at Christmas time. Five little country boys, but they made Christmas special to us. He and Aunt Emma would always make Christmas special to us. So So that's fond memories of. Those are the things I can reflect back on.
When he was talking about Mehara, that's where your dad was sent when he was in the military. And what is ASTP? The Army Special Training?
Yes.
Now, I didn't know Uncle Jane was in the military. That's the first for me. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and that's how he was able to go to medical school, to Meharry Medical College. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
There were several of his classmates that did the Army training, and that's how they were able to go to medical school.
How long did he stay in the military?
Like, it was a year.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was a year.
I didn't know that. That's
Army Jeep.
Oh, is that okay? Oh, I know he had Jeeps all of his life, so that's how he got fond of Jeeps. I didn't know that. So, okay, I didn't realize that.
Once he had the training, then the Army sent him to the Northern Neck. Or did he go to Virginia Union and then go into the Army, or did he go to the Army and then?
No, Virginia Union first.
And yeah. Then he went into the Army. Yeah. Then the Army sent him to counties that did not have Black physicians.
I think that Reverend Ruffin out from the Northern Neck was the connection to get my family out to the Northern Neck, because there wasn't there were no Black doctors. Yeah. There was a doctor in Lancaster, Dr. Norris. Northumberland had no Black doctors.
Yeah.
And Reverend Ruffin had a Virginia Union University connection. And I think he's the reason that my family got to the Northern Neck, to Reedville. He connected my parents with Julia Weldon, who was a female undertaker out there. Huh. And our family actually lived with her while they were, you know, trying to get a home built, and had two girls at that point, and we called her Juju, took my family in.
Yeah, I remember that. Also, I remember now my brother, Renard, who's a physician, told me that there was a biology teacher from Virginia Union that Uncle Jan studied under, and of course my brother studied under, and he was from the Northern Neck area. I can't recall his name now, but he also recommended Uncle Jan for that Northumberland area.
I always thought that Dr. Charlton was a born and bred. He is what is formally referred to as a come now person.
Yes.
Which you could be there for 100 years and you always be a come now, you know.
But what does that mean?
Go ahead, tell him, Lay.
Or come hither. In other words, you're not endemic to the area, but for some reason or other, you are transported.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
I've heard it as come hither. Different.
Okay.
And we tease people like you all. Yeah, we talk major trash about y'all. but come now. But, you know, we accept you. You can come to the picnic. Yeah. And you can take a plate home too. So you're good. You're good. Lay, what was your first job when you was growing up?
At the mom and pop store right next to my house. I worked with Mr. Vernon Brown. He and his wife owned a mom and pop store. They had gas, they had food, they had deli before people knew about delis, penny candy, frozen goods. He would come to the market in Richmond on Thursdays, I think, load up and bring his wares back to Reedville. Yeah, and I helped him. I was his little clerk while I was in high school. I pumped gas, and he trusted me because he was very careless with his money. And it was nothing for me to find like hundreds of dollars in a brown paper bag.
Sorry, that's funny.
Because this is my boss. I'm not going to throw him under the bus. So I did that for several years in high school.
You remember Mr. Theodberg that lived outside of Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah. Same kind of setup.
Well, I remember the store she's referring to. And of course, that was a staple in that community when we were growing up. Emma would send us over there to that store all the time and pick up things. And we just walk right across the field to the store. He had a garden between the store and in your house, Lay. And we'd walk over there and get candy and get milk and whatever we needed for breakfast when we were staying there and, you know, when we were there. So I don't know what happened to them, but they go way back. They go way back.
Mm-hmm. They both have passed.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you're my father's age. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Garrett, we love the garden. I mean, fresh greens, tomatoes. I mean,
in the
field with those tomatoes and eat them. It was nothing better.
Yeah.
Wipe on the side of your leg and eat it like an apple. Yeah. Going on the field and get creases.
Creasy greens.
The best. It smells so good.
You're so right.
And you had to cook them like forever, but they were still good.
Kilmarnock was a nice little drive for us when we were down there. And the store that I remember, Benjamin Franklin Drugstore. Yes, and that love to go down. Emma buys toys. And the thing that we could do going to that little drugstore, we did it on the weekday. And where I'm from in Charles City, we would go to Richmond on Saturdays. We did everything on Saturdays. But Aunt Emma would take us during the weekdays, and I couldn't believe anybody shopped during the weekdays. I couldn't believe it happened. And then every Wednesday, of course, when we were down there, we'd pile in the car and drive to Richmond, because Uncle Jane would go to Richmond every Wednesday and shut down his office, and we'd drive to Richmond and see our relatives in Richmond. And he would stock up on medication and the whole thing. But Benjamin, am I saying that right? Benjamin Franklin Drugstore.
Yeah, Ben and Franklin. Yeah.
Ben and Franklin.
5 and 10.
5 and 10. Is it still there?
The building is there, but I think they changed it to a new company name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, of course, they have Walmart and everything there now.
Tell me some of the fondest memories you have of being in Reidsville and visiting.
I lived in Reidsville until I was 7 years old. And then great Jack and I moved to Richmond. And then we spent all summer in Reidsville. And I enjoyed going to Solnett's house and riding the ferry. Every time I'm in Reidsville, if the ferry is in operation, the Sunnybank ferry, I take every opportunity to go on it. And so I always loved taking my kids on the ferry when they were little. And now my youngest is 18. So,
Jenny, what made you decide that you was going to leave the Northern Neck? What pushed you to go?
I don't think she ever had a thought of staying, if I remember correctly.
I'm
right here.
I was 14 and I had, well, you know, we could only get one radio station down there pretty much. Cut Brucey in New York City. And so I had a mother who bought glamorous magazines and tried to dress like the people in them. So she tried different recipes, you know, to the exotic, her Polynesian chicken, her lasagna. So if you're an inquisitive child, you listen to stuff about New York and you live in Reidsville, at some point you said, you know, I kind of want to see what's going on out there in that other part of this world that mother seems to be reading about. I'm listening to on the radio. The magazines are talking about it. So let me just see if I can get a little taste of what's going on in, you know, there is something else. You know how your mind just tells you, you know, Reidsville is beautiful. Well, it wasn't beautiful then, but it's beautiful now.
Yeah.
As a child, you don't recognize that, you know, the aesthetic. So you want to go out and you want to learn different things about different things. Now, the good thing about that, though, is we had the kind of parents that taught us a whole lot of stuff that rooted us. So that when they let us loose, because they weren't strict parents by any means at all. But when they let us loose, it seemed to me like they knew, they had the confidence that, you know, they may get out there and do a few things, but I'm gonna give them some sound values, some sound instruction, some sound ways of treating other people, you know, and just dealing how you deal with other people. And I think, you know, it's okay. I still want to know about the glamorous life in New York, actually. But mother was big on exposure, you know, getting, she wanted to expose us to things, to
dance, music, mother and daddy.
Yeah.
Music, encyclopedias. We had a library that had was full of books.
Yeah.
And a pool table.
And some Red Fox albums.
Ooh, the Blue Party albums.
I found them quick.
Yep. Yeah. Red Fox, Flappy White. Oh my gosh. You just made me think of one of those jokes that still stay with me. It has to do with a tuba, but we'll talk about that later too.
You're blushing, Pixie.
It's so funny. I mean, I heard this when I was a little kid, and that still stayed with me.
It was just
Lynn, are you the only one of this group that perhaps went to an integrated school?
Yes, to Reedville Primary. I went to kindergarten and first grade in Reedville. My kindergarten and first grade classes, I was one of four Black children out of 60 kids.
Oh, wow.
In Reedville.
Wow,
so cool.
So we went to Northumberland High School's graduation. Obviously, I went to my own in Vance, and then I went to John Marshall's graduation, so.
But Pixie, our brother Tank integrated, so to speak, Reedville Elementary, the only Black in that class that year.
Wow.
And then the next year, we were all bused to, you know, that forced integration.
I never went to an integrated, from elementary through high school, I never went to an integrated school. All of my schools were all Black.
Yeah,
same here.
Yeah. And then public I left schools. Union, which was a historically Black college, so Howard, which was a historically Black college. So I've never been to an integrated school. Praise God.
You are listening to an interview with the family of Dr. Jan and Mrs. Emma Charity Charlton on A Pixie from Kilmarnock. Family gatherings lends itself to relating history and finding new information of each other that was not known before, making more memories in the discovery.
Now Vernon, Pixie, he was the first one in our family to go to Harvard.
Harvard,
back in the 60s. Can you believe that?
They're trying to say Howard.
It was probably a mistake.
Never.
Didn't have a clue.
He was smart.
Came up out of Phoenix High School, got admitted, and so it's like, oh, hell, let's go. It was not a whole lot of fun.
Come on, let's go back there then. We're going to do this later.
Do you know I've been on that campus twice?
Really?
Since 1969.
Wow.
Twice.
Wow.
And one of those had nothing to do with Harvard.
Famous roommate.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Tell her a little bit about that. Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing about Harvard. The hardest thing about Harvard is getting in. Once you get in, they try to make it as easy as they can, not on Black folks, but I mean, you know, academically. So my roommate was Congressman Bobby Scott. We've been bosom buddies since. That was my undergraduate roommate. Tommy Lee Jones lived two doors down from me and was a total asshole. He and Ted Cruz should get along well together. Al Gore was on my floor and he wasn't bad. But, you know, he went to high school in D.C., so he had a little bit of better. But, you know, the point being, it was like culture shock. It was like, and Janae's making a joke, but people would say to me, you know, where are you in school? I said, oh, I'm in D.C. I'm at Howard. Haverford. Anything not to admit it.
I love it.
Since then, there's been a ton of folks from this family who have gone to Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and everywhere else.
All right,
UVA.
Stanford.
Elmer,
William and Mary.
Well, Charlton was amongst the first, go to college.
Yeah, everybody was pushing in our family, go to college all the time.
And
the story about Daddy, Jan Charlton being admitted to Notre Dame and showing up black, right?
When he's talking about Harvard, I was thinking about, first of all, what W.E.B. Du Bois said, that you're lucky to go to Harvard. And he said, no, Harvard is lucky to have me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was probably true for W.B. Yeah, because he was no joke. So he made it known that he was on campus. So can't take that away from you. The story about your father going to Notre Dame, I want to please tell the world about this.
Okay, so Daddy was born in Dublin, Georgia, but grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and lettered in every sport you can imagine. I think it was Central High School.
Yeah. Which was a white high school.
Yeah. That's in the 40s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They let him play.
The 30s, because he graduated
in the 30s. That was the 30s.
Okay. Graduated.
Yeah. It was the 30s.
School in the 40s.
Yeah.
So he's admitted to Notre Dame sight unsound because, they're looking at his grades, his lettering in sports, where he was in Fort Wayne and in the school that he went to, never, ever thinking that they had admitted a black man. And he shows up, and of course, he shows up black. sir, we made a mistake.
Wow.
The story about him changing the spelling of his name. It was John originally, and he changed it to J-A-E-H-N. Yeah.
Jan. Siri calls him Jan.
and so many things that, we don't know what that does to a teenager psychic,
Pixie is like, it's like the Watermelon Man. There's a black man.
I remember that movie.
Fisher, do you know Uncle Jane was in the Army? I knew nothing about his military service. Did you know anything, Skitch, about his military service?
Well, all of those brothers were, their medical school was being paid for by the Army.
Right, Stanley.
They were all recruited. My Uncle Stanley.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Cliff Arrington.
Yeah.
That's, they were sort of kind of in the Army.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then understanding is that as they got to the end, Uncle Jan, who had like varsity letters and 4 or 5 sports and all of that shit, was able to fail his physical. And so everybody else got inducted and he got a deferment.
I didn't know that part of the story.
So he had sport injuries and that kept him out, huh?
Yeah.
Kept
him out. Bone spurs. He had bone spurs, y'all.
Yeah.
Say that, bone spurs.
My goodness.
But, that's kind of, it epitomizes how outrageous this brother was, because he figured that shit out.
Yeah.
That wasn't like happenstance.
Yeah.
This brother spoke German.
Right.
And I don't mean sprechen Deutsch de boop boop. No, this brother spoke German.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch, I speak German too, you know.
And the story that he told me about speaking German ended up with Schwarze Schweinhausen.
Who was she?
Because I don't know what that is. Schwarze Schweinhausen is black pig. Black pig. Yeah. And the story is a bunch of crackers was talking about him in Tennessee, and he let them go ahead and say what they had to say. And then when he got ready to leave, he spoke to them in German and said something to them equivalent to, well, I might be a black pig, but you a fool. John was a bad brother.
Yeah, he was.
I often talk about the fact, stuff that we were exposed to as a result of being hooked up in the family, that you wouldn't have, we would not have had those opportunities.
Yeah, it's a great thing too. It's a great thing for families to.
It's not like there was not other physicians connected up one way or another. He was just bold with his stuff. Negro driving a Jaguar in 1955 or something.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Who did this?
That wood grain paneling. That was a bad little car, wasn't it?
You ought to know, girl.
Yeah, I love that car. That was a bad little ride.
He had gun collections. He had pipe collections. Like you said, library, hospital ward. The beach property was acquired in the 50s.
Yeah.
Acquired in the 50s. And here we are as Black people going to the beach, a private beach. A private beach in 78 years old. So we're talking, 60-some years ago. We're going to a private beach, you know, because of Aunt Emma and Uncle Jan, you know. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
Unbelievable how they live.
Why we say that, we didn't realize that other families didn't have exposures to the same thing. We really didn't.
I didn't realize it.
And mother being one of six, and these guys that are on with us being such, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how close those sisters and brothers were.
Yeah.
And so they got stuff from us and we got stuff from them. You cannot believe how we just intertwined and the things that we learned from each other. I mean, you know, our grandmother was a midwife. So many people, she, you know, chronicled the stories of, you know, whose baby she birthed. Yeah. You know, and then Aunt Mickey was a nurse. I mean, it's just so much that it's, you know, here talking about it, you know, we just took it for granted, you know, growing up. It's amazing to even kind of talk about now.
Now, Mickey is Vernon's mother.
Vernon, what was your first job?
I worked as a vegetable salesman and a stock boy for a Black market in Hampton called Nucky Ray's. And Nucky Ray had gone to high school with my dad.
Wow.
And the summer after I finished the eighth grade, Nucky Ray showed up on our front porch. And my father said, this is Mr. Ray. You'll be going to work for him on Monday.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was my very first job. I got $20 a week.
That's pretty good.
$20 bill in a brown envelope.
That's pretty good.
No Social Security and none of that stuff.
Exactly.
As a result of working for Nucky Ray, you know, I learned all about the different kinds of fruits and, you know, what's a clingstone peach and what's a freestone and what's this or that. And I ended up learning to drive trucks. And so there was a short period in my life when I drove Workwear International in Boston as a summer job. Nucky Ray.
Wow.
That was my first job.
You know, even though we had tough jobs as teenagers, we always knew there was another side. Like I said, we were going to the private beach at, you know, 7-8 years old. We always realized there was another side, that if we work and got through school, we could probably attain that other side, you know? And that's pretty much how the cousins always realized that, and always thought that we're going to college one way or the other. We're going to get through college. Yeah. We're going to hook or crook. We're going to get through college. And for the most part, all the cousins did. We got through college. Not only got through college, we got doctors out of it, lawyers. I have two sons that are attorneys. We always knew there was another side because of Jane Charlton and Emma Charlton. And we saw the other side, and they were gladly picked us up and just adopted us basically during the summer. Aunt Emma never forgot her roots in Charles City, never forgot her roots. And pretty much Uncle Jane assimilated in our family. I mean, he just assimilated in that family, and they brought us along. I mean, we always realized there was another side. And Skitch and I I remember riding with Uncle Jane from Richmond in his Jaguar. You know, two young kids riding with this man in a two-seater from Richmond to Northumberland. You never forget things like that.
And plus, Jan Charlton was not no wallflower. When we rode from Richmond to Northumberland in the Jaguar, we was flat out flying.
And he was shifting gears, too. There was no automatic.
He playing with it.
Hold on.
Yeah.
And the other thing that came from the association with the Charltons is you met all these other people.
Yeah, yeah.
Whose parents were physicians and dentists and college professors and whatnot. So, you know, the sphere of folk that you were exposed to Because, you know, in the beach, Garrett talks about the beach. Well, you know, the beach also had a whole bunch of other Black families because it was a little enclave. Mr. Motley was a successful businessman.
It's
a different world.
Our Nana's Uncle Willie, they owned a flooring company.
Doing construction work.
Samuel DeWitt Proctor had property. He and his family had property down there.
Exactly.
Dr. Proctor did a sermon about it at Howard. I heard it. I couldn't believe it. He was talking about the beach and this, all these Black families that got down there. They huddled, but only one of them had electricity. So they all plugged in. They all plugged into the one little place that had the electricity. And that's how they got their power. But he was relating that to you plug into spirit and God, the source. And, and that's what, you know, got them, got their energy going. Quite a story.
Gary, what was your first job?
My first job, now before college, I did all kinds of work. But my first job in Shaw City was working at a plantation, Upper Shirley Plantation. And these people were evil.
Yeah.
But they were just evil people. But I worked after school, and I worked on Saturdays. We weren't allowed to work on Sundays because my mother was big into religion and the whole thing. So we had to go to church on Sundays. Thank God for church. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have to go and work for those people on Sundays. But they paid us $5 a day if we worked a full day. And I think it was under a dollar that they paid us on an hourly wage, you know, when we were in high school. And it was awful. The job after that, when I was a senior in high school, I worked for a place called Cellarstone, and they made these long cement slabs. And it was hard work. I mean, they paid us a dollar and a quarter an hour. But it was unbelievable, very refreshing job to get away from those plantation folks. If you work, they left you alone. They didn't mess with you. All you had to do was work hard, and you got your $1.25 an hour. So we started early, 6 o'clock on Saturdays, and by 2:30 on Wednesdays, we had our 40 hours made. So we're on time and a half. That's how many hours we work. So we worked on 6 o'clock on Saturday mornings, and we worked till about 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock on Saturdays. And we started Monday, so we might have had a 10 or 12 hour day or whatever. But on Wednesday afternoon at 2:30, we already had made that 40 hours, and we were on time and a half around 2:30. That, you know, time and a half, you know, you they would pay you time at, you know, $1.25 plus whatever the $1.25, half of what a $1.25 is, 75 cents maybe. So you got that at 40 after working 40 hours, and that 40 hours you worked all that hard. And on Wednesday afternoons at 2:30, we got time and a half. So that's the kind of work, it's hard work, but I loved it because we didn't have to deal with that ignorance, that, you know, that prejudice bullshit. So, so like I said, all you had to do was work hard. You worked hard in the sun and the whole thing, and you know, hot cement and the whole thing, but it was refreshing to get away from those folks. I worked there for 2 years, 1 year after doing my senior year and a year after, during the summer after my first year at Virginia Union. So we all worked hard. Skitch can tell you all these little jobs we had to do to make it. But that's what we did, you know, that's what we did.
What about you, Lynn? What was your first job?
My first job was as a receptionist when I was in the eighth grade at my uncle's medical practice. Pam, which is Big Daddy and Great Jan and Emma's oldest, married Frank Royal, and he followed in Big Daddy's steps, went to Meharry Medical School and came to Richmond and practiced. And I served as in eighth grade. I started working there like during spring break and on the summers for both he and his brother, his twin brothers. I did that. And then when I went to college, I was a cashier at a grocery store. But I was fortunate that I grew up in a different time. I didn't have to work. And so I helped out in their offices. And then when I went to college, I was like, oh, I really need a job. So that was my first real job. Getting a W-2 and having to file taxes was when I was at Carolina. I worked at Harris Teeter.
What about you, Janae? What was your first job?
I think my first job was in retail at a place like a Dollar General store or something when I was at Union. And I did a lot of waitressing too. So I worked at a Red Lobster.
And she ran a poker game.
And I ran that movie about that girl, what's her name, Marge or something? That was really me.
Oh, Daredevil too, aren't you?
Ooh, I try.
But Pixie, we always realize that in spite of doing these jobs, and some of them are hard, of course, in my family, there was the other side. We realized there was another side. There was the other side, that if we could just get through school by hook or crook. Because our family showed us the other side. Uncle Jane and Aunt Emma showed us the other side. If we just, it was hard to get to his level, but, you know, finally, you know, we did get through school and start having professional lives, you know, professional jobs. So, so I don't want to mislead you. Even though these jobs were tough, we always realized that if we could get through school, we could attain some degree of wealth. Let's put it that way.
And you just have to work. I mean, it's just, you don't have any options. You have to work.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't know these people who don't know that they don't have to work.
Yeah.
Work, people.
Yeah, you have to work.
And what are some of the favorite foods that you all associated with being on the Northern Neck? What are some of your favorite?
Steam crabs.
There you go. I knew you were going to say that, because I was going to also ask you, would it include the Northern Neck ginger ale?
Yes.
Definitely Northern Neck ginger ale. Yes. And then the fried chicken at Red's. In addition to the fried, the grocery spot.
You remember Cosby's, Jamil?
Huh?
You remember Cosby's?
Oh my God, yes. I love it. Oh my gosh.
He and Daddy were best friends.
Yes. And so then Randall and I spent spring break with them. Big Daddy took us to Red's every night for dinner. But yeah, even after I would go, and Grady and I always went to Red whenever we were in Reedville.
Wow. And soft shell crabs and right. Tomatoes when in season, and
Silver Queen corn,
greens.
Oh yeah, definitely Silver Queen corn.
Creasy greens.
Yes.
Oysters were big. I mean, I'm vegetarian now, but growing up, oysters were big.
Right.
Yeah. Look at Pixie. Pixie don't like oysters.
Drool.
Okay. Here's a food response that's a little different. Whenever you were at the beach, cooking was primarily done on a barbecue, like a fireplace outside.
Yeah,
right.
And I can remember being pleasantly surprised to learn that regardless of your age or any of that stuff, if you wanted a steak, you could have a steak. Charlton would have a great big cooler. And in the cooler would be hamburgers and hot dogs and steaks. Yeah, I can remember going down to the butcher in Reedville with him to get this stuff.
Carlson's.
Yeah, right, exactly. Which is also where we used to take the deer and stuff that we killed hunting. That's where we got it butchered down there.
Yeah.
But I was just so astounded that, you know, an 8-year-old kid could get a steak. Yeah. And it wasn't even any conversation. Yeah. What do you want? I'll take a steak. Oh, okay.
Pixie, let me tell you something else, how good the life was down in Reedville. Pamela, that's Leigh and Janae's older sister, drove a Thunderbird to high school.
Oops.
A Thunderbird to high school, okay? So we go down there in the summer, and on our way to Kilmarnock, that was a Tasty Freeze place. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
On the right, I'm taking early 60s now. We stop in that Tasty Freeze, and you know, I've never been in a Tasty Freeze place before, but that was a staple. And then we would go to a drive-in in your area. There was a drive-in
right across the road.
I go back way back in Northumberland, way back. You know, if I think a minute, I can tell you a couple of the movies we saw. So
I saw Psycho for the first time at the drive-in.
At that drive-in,
and to this day, I refuse to have a shower curtain. I won't.
Ben-Hur and Cyclops.
Was it who's the one eye? Cyclops.
Yeah.
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 High tin roof.
Yeah. Ben Hur. I remember that there.
Yeah. Yeah. Going to the drive-in. That was a big thing.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good movies came that way.
You need to bring them back. Drive-ins.
They need to have drive-ins, especially now with the virus. You might as well just go ahead and hop in your car with those that you feel safe and bring your own food and whatever else your beverage of choice and watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Margarita. Let's get back to the Northern Neck Ginger Ale.
I don't remember that either.
Oh.
It had real ginger in it. Real ginger.
Huh.
I mean, and so potent that when you drank it, you could feel like a burn in your nose. I mean, it wasn't obnoxious or anything. I mean, it was just that real. You know,
what was the name of it?
Northern Neck Ginger Ale.
Oh, that was the name.
Yeah, Montrose. Wasn't it? It was produced in Montrose, not far from where we grew up.
Yeah, in Westmoreland County. Yeah.
It would give you a belch to rival Aunt Anna.
Yeah, it was in a green can. You probably had it and didn't even realize that it was. Yeah. Because that
Vernon Brown had it in his store. I'm sure had it.
Yeah.
It was a Mr. Brown store. Yes.
Mr. Brown store. That was the best.
They were good people too. They were just
Mr. and Mrs. Brown had a home at the beach, Pixie.
Yes.
When you were saying that you always thought that all families lived the way that you all did, I was one of those people that nose was pressed up against the window looking in, wishing I could be where you all were.
Mm-hmm. But see, you know, Pixie, I never thought everybody lived like we lived. I said, I know everybody didn't live like this. I think one of the peeping out, I would see more, you know, you see more when you get away from it. Mm-hmm. I would see some things that made me think, you know, something's different.
Well, all you had to do was visit Charles City at the time, you would see...
Wow.
You could see the other side.
And there's something to be said for that because, you know, you could visit Hampton same mm-hmm. way. You know,
yeah.
And it would be a whole different experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is your first memory of straight up facing racism?
Ooh, going to Richmond and seeing that white only sign. Two things. Going to Richmond and seeing that white only sign over the water fountains at Jimmy Morris's. And then one time mother wanted to have her birthday dinner at Tides Inn or somewhere. Sat down, we got all dressed up and sat, and they wouldn't serve us. And mother was livid. And so then the black cook came, and mother wasn't moving. She was like, no, we're not going anywhere. They're going to serve us. We came here for dinner. The black cook came out and said, oh, Miss Charlton, please, please leave. Don't cause no trouble. And I can't remember how that ended. We didn't go to jail.
Oh, we went someplace else to eat.
I think what they did was said, Miss Charlton, we'll serve you, but them little pickaninnies.
You are so deep, girl.
Well, Aunt Emma could pass, though.
That's right.
Aunt Emma could pass because she could go to a store called Montaladu's in Richmond. It was a high-end store for whites, and she could go in there and buy all these nice clothes and stuff. But they didn't allow blacks in there, you know, people of color in there.
She went in there. They just didn't know.
They didn't know. No, they didn't know. They didn't know about her.
Hard work. Knowing that you can control your own destiny. A strong family unit. Tools that build a dynasty and a continuing legacy within the families is what this family is a testament of, as there are the other many black families on the Northern Neck. The music by Robert A. Hall. This interview is dedicated to the Black leaders, landowners, business people, and to those who dare to be bold. Thank you for listening.